Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful we can come here and gather together and look into your word, and you show us things we never would otherwise know. And so, Lord, just open our hearts to receive what you have to say and be encouraged, Lord, that we could, just as the music has led us, to focus on you, look to you, and know your goodness and care for us. And so, Lord, I just pray you move among us this morning, open hearts to receive, and I just speak things from the Spirit, and that each one could be able to receive what your truth is. So bless our time together, Lord, just show yourself strong in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we are, as you well know, going through 2 Corinthians. Notice the title. I've already told you how hard it is when we work on titles. Okay, this one was pretty easy. Heavenly Body, meaning our heavenly body. Our heavenly body. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Now, there's a revelation. You know, last week we learned, chapter 4, one of the things we learned is that our outward body is wasting away. I waited for everybody to say amen. Yeah, and I admitted that we, Linda and I, you know, hit overdrive. Well, she looked at me. I've hit overdrive in the wasting away of my body. But anyway, the older you get, the more obvious becomes. So the younger of it, you know, have mercy for us older ones. Anyway, it said our outer body is wasting away, but at the same time, our inward soul is being renewed every day. So is what you see is being wasting away. Inside, your soul is being renewed every day. And so that's a fascinating, you know, thought. And we see that and how obvious it is. Now, but this morning, so we're following up with the message, last message. This morning, we're going to see that we get a brand new body. A brand new body. And so when we go to be with Jesus, okay, we're going to have a new body, total new body. Now, and this body is going to look like Jesus' body. So there's a, you know, a lot of people you think about, well, you're going to heaven and this will happen and, well, you know, and that is true. But this is very, very specific that we're going to have a brand new body that looks like Jesus' body. So there's going to be a reunion in heaven. Now, as you look at in the Bible about it, it doesn't say very much about our heavenly body, other than we're going to get one. But it doesn't, there's no detail. And it's going to be, we have Jesus to look at is after his resurrection to have an idea of what this body looks like. And you have in the Bible certain visions where people had of Jesus, you know. So there's an element that you know, something about this heavenly body. But it's related to what Jesus looks like. Related to what Jesus looks like. Now, for instance, right here, something we'll learn right here about what God's trying to tell us. So we want to look at the few verses that it does show us something. Okay, so we get an idea of our heavenly body when we go to be with Jesus. The first thing we notice, or I notice here, is that in this verse, it describes our body is an earthly tent. Now, I think that is really significant because it calls our body is an earthly tent. Now, so you think, okay, well, let's look at a tent. Why did he use tent? A tent, okay, is a temporary shelter. It's a temporary shelter which we, you know, reside in until we go home. You go camping, you reside in a tent, then you go home to your house. So he's calling it a tent. It's a temporary, it's a temporary place in which we live. It's a temporary shelter in which we live. Now, that also explains something else. There's things in the scriptures start coming together. Like in the Gospel of John, and you've heard me talk about this, Jesus says out of his own mouth, and he goes, you'll never die. Now, the other places he talks about death and resurrection, but he says that. He goes, you never die. Well, what does he mean? He goes, oh, by the way, the tent will fold up, but you won't die. That's what he's saying. He said, you're going to leave the tent. Now, so the words are important here. You're going to leave the tent. So he goes, you'll never die. Okay. He just didn't say, oh, by the way, you'll fold up the tent and then you'll leave. He goes, no, you'll just never die. Why? Because is the tent alive? No, it's what ends the tent that's alive. It's what ends is in the tent that is alive. And he said, you'll never die. You're just going to go be with the Lord. So you kind of understand why he's saying this. So you might put it this way. We could say, we don't die. We just fold up our tent and go home. I mean, that's the truth. Or more accurately, we could say, we shed the tent and go to our house that God built. Now, what's the comparison here? A shelter. Okay, so he said, we're going, this tent, you're going to fold it up, and then you're going to this body that God built. And that's where you're going to. So here's the communication he's trying to tell us, to give us an idea of our heavenly body. Now, flowing on down here, we'll just look at 2 Corinthians 5:4. Again, all this is in context. For while we are in this tent, okay, this is a tent. For while we are in this tent, while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened. Because we don't wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. It's just like, oh man, I'm just miserable. I want out of here. No, don't think like that. That's not what you're supposed to think of. But there is a home in heaven. There is a body in heaven. And one day you'll go, oh man, I look forward to just putting on my heavenly body. See, that's positive. The negative, I want out of this tent. You know, that's the wrong attitude. No, I want to be with the Lord in the heavenly body. Now, so you have this picture laid out here. Let's just think about it, and talking in general. While this temporary tent, with all its aches and pains, all the aches and pains, we look forward to being clothed with a heavenly dwelling with no aches and pains. Amen? So now you put this together because then you understand. You know, you understand what the Lord's talking about. He goes, I know what you're going through. I know the difficulties you're going through. I understand all your aches and pains and disappointments. I understand all that. But there is a heavenly body where there will not be any aches and pains. There's no hurt. So he's telling us something here. If you're looking forward, said, no, you're going to be in a place you never imagined, and you're going to have an earthly body. You're going to have an earthly body with no aches and pains. Oh, God's people said, amen. I mean, so he's making that real clear to us. Now, we wonder, what is this body going to look like? Now, again, not a lot here. We have a picture of Jesus in the resurrection, again, and he was doing some kind of interesting stuff. You know, it's like everybody, they locked the doors and they hid from there, and he just shows up. He says, hey, man, you know, and they go, well, how'd you get in here? You know, and then he leaves, and he just leaves. Where'd he go? You know, so we know there's something happening with this heavenly body that Jesus had after the resurrection that's different. And he makes a point, says, no, it's this body is going to be like my body. It's going to be my like my body. So, okay, and then we have other visions of certain, like when Jesus comes back and like, whoa, you know, I mean, really obvious. It's really obvious. So here's the picture. And the nearest thing I can come up with, like us individually, what it looks like is in 1 Corinthians 15, 42-44. Now, you can read that whole section. By the way, the apostle wrote 1 Corinthians, and he wrote 2 Corinthians. So he knew what he wrote in the first letter. So this all runs together, okay? But here, in what he's doing in 2 Corinthians, what he's doing in 1 Corinthians, he said, okay, I'm going to give you a little idea of what's going to happen. What's going to happen? I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to encourage you. So he's going to help us to know what this body's going to look like. Okay, we'll read this through. 1 Corinthians 15:42, and I put a couple of parentheses there that I will speak, but you can see what I've added, but just to help understand it. So what's this heavenly body going to look like when we go be with Jesus? It says here, the body that is sown, planted. I put planted there for all you non-farmers. Okay. The body that is sown, planted, is perishable. See, it just, right up front, what did he call it before? He called it a tent. It's not permanent, okay? Now, this seed that's planted, when you plant a seed, you ever plant like a green seed, it's just all green and mushy, it dries up, it's dead. You plant the seed. So get the whole picture. He's putting our body, okay? Yeah, and then he's not really bragging on us too much here, okay? So the body that's sown, planted, is perishable. It doesn't last. It's not here to last. It wasn't meant to last. The body that is sown, planted, is perishable. It is raised, okay, this seed that was sown, planted, perishable, but it was raised imperishable. Now, just, again, for the non-farmers here, son of a gun, that man got alive. That dead seed got lit, okay, and it is alive. Now, don't miss that point, because he's trying to show us something here. It's like, hey, this seed, we're talking about your body. It's planted, perishable, but it's raised imperishable. You got growth here, and it's raised imperishable. Goes on 43, it is sown, planted in dishonor. You just weren't all that, didn't have it all together. Your body, it just wasn't that good. You think you're looking good? No, not so much. Okay? God is saying, it was planted in dishonor. It's dead, but it's raised in glory. Same seed. It's dead thing. Now it's raised in glory. Now remember, don't lose sight of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your body. I'm talking about your body. So it's planted in dishonor. It's raised in glory. Goes on saying, it is planted in weakness. The strongest person you ever saw. Now it's weakness. They're going down. It's just planted in weakness. Planted in weakness, but it's raised in power. Raised in power. Then it goes on saying, it is sown or planted a natural body. Seed, okay? He's talking about your body, and he's like comparing you to a kernel of corn, okay? You had a natural body, and you had kernel. It's a natural body. So it's planted a natural body. Me and you have natural bodies, and we're going to get planted. It is sown and planted a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. Now, there it is, something all of a sudden. How could Jesus do what he did? How could he just show up and just leave? Because Jesus, when he lived here in the flesh, I won't say he couldn't do that. He didn't do that ever, okay? But after the resurrection, he did it all the time. Yeah, all the time. But I love the one spoke to me years ago. The guy's walking to a mass there, talks, oh man, Jesus been crucified. This is terrible. And this guy shows up. Hey, what you talking about? Oh, I said, you ain't been right. You don't even know what's going on here. He said, no, tell me about it. We're talking. Jesus was looking. Chris, oh, tell me all about it. So they tell us, And says, and then he just started explaining things to him, you know. And they says, well, come eat with us. He said, all right, I'll come eat with you. So he sits down, and they sat down, and they looked at him, and then, you know, for whatever they go, that's Jesus. I mean, kind of threw a whole monkey wrench in the whole meal. That's Jesus. And he just disappeared. He just left. And then they go, their thought was, didn't our hearts burn within us as he explained the scriptures to us? Now, see, that's Jesus. In his spiritual body. Well, so now we have a hint of what we're going to look like. How we can function. Because it says right here, you were planted a natural body, and you're going to be raised a spiritual body. Now, here's the proof you're going to be raised a spiritual body. And I always love doing this. I want you to touch your little cheek. Right? Like that. Touch his cheek, okay? That's your natural body. If you got one of these, you're going to get a spiritual body. See, that's the criteria, to be here first, you know, and then there's a spiritual body. So he's making a point here. Now, so what we have, why are you going through all this? Because when we look at all eternity, we have to understand there's a connection between the natural body and the spiritual body. He just like, okay, the human race, you know, the human race will die, and the human race are going to be spiritual bodies. Okay, that's how he chose. That's what he does. Now, we know that through the scriptures. So he's telling us that we'll have an understanding of what heaven's going to look like and what the future's going to look like. Now, only in 1 Corinthians, actually, it's not 1 Corinthians, it's 1 Thessalonians, he talks about this again. And he says, now I'm telling you this so you won't grieve so much. You know, with me? He says, people are dying. It's just, you're dying. You're just crying. He said, but I'm telling you this so you won't grieve so much. And then he says, because what's going to happen, and he uses two things. He says, what's going to happen? And listen to the verbiage. In a twinkling of an eye, you're going to be changed. So don't grieve like others grieve. Because in a twinkling, you're just going to change. And you're going to be with the Lord, and he's going to clothe you in the body. He's like, okay, God, that helps. That helps. You see what I'm saying? Now, I have to make a side note here. This is just me. It's a recent phenomena. They have funerals, and they say they're a celebration of life. They come together and they play praise music and everybody's happy for joy. Now, I don't want you to do that for me. I don't want any praise music when I die. I want you to cry. I mean, I do. I don't want you. I don't care if you think I have a heavenly body. I want you to be sad. I leave. All right? So anyway, that's just me. So no celebration of life. You just come and grieve. So what we see here, it's what's telling us, but so it's made it make a real connection, and this is important when you understand, there's a real connection between our natural body and our spiritual body. They're not separate in God's eyes. These are not separate. Again, he's dealing with the tent. Okay, we're eternal inside, okay, already. So that's not changing. We're eternal. He's just changing the tent. And we're in a physical tent that it's perishable. And we're going to get a tent that doesn't perish. Actually, he calls it a house, a new body. So what we have here, our earthly tent's perishable, but our body in heaven is imperishable for all eternity. Now, how do we know it? Because God tells us that. Well, whoever did that? Jesus. See, that's a picture. That's what God shows us so then we can have confidence. And he does this over and over. He said, how do we know? He says, because you saw what Jesus did. And he'll talk about the resurrection. Well, and he goes through this. He goes, well, how do you know there's a resurrection? He says, because Jesus was resurrected. That's how I know. Well, how do you know for sure? Well, he appeared to this person, this person, this person. And then Paul says, then he appeared to me. And then he appeared again. That's 500 people. That's how I know. See, so he uses Jesus to communicate. That's how we know that there's a resurrection, because Jesus was resurrected. And he compares our resurrection to Jesus' resurrection. So the two are connected. The two are connected. So we know that. Well, so this is what we're having here when he's explaining it about the bodies. You know, you have a natural, but you're always going to have a spiritual. Well, look, Jesus. That's the proof. Jesus is the proof. Okay, and that's historically proved. I mean, it's, you know, you can go into that. One of the most, even the diehard atheist has to believe that Jesus existed and lived and he died. And then they say one of the most, you know, documented things in ancient history is that they couldn't find him. He arose. He arose, you know. And so it's, you know, all the documentation points that Jesus' resurrection is a real puzzlement to people who don't believe. So why am I saying all this to you? It just make a point because it impacts us. I know I will be resurrected. 100% sure. Why? Because Jesus was. Jesus was. And the foundation is there. The foundation is in Jesus. The hope is in Jesus. So, this back to this. The body, the earthly tent is perishable. The body in heaven is imperishable for all eternity. It never ends. Just like Jesus will never end, our body, our soul, never ends. It's spiritual, never ending. Once we go be with the Lord. Now, here's the other little point here. Now, this is a little speculation on my part, but I think there's other places in the Bible that relate to this in a very particular way. Our earthly body, now here we're going, our earthly body, let's learn something here from this example, and this example is used for a purpose. It's used for a purpose. Our earthly body is compared to seed that dies and is planted in the ground and then raises to a glorious, powerful, spiritual body. Okay? Now, God is giving us some insights for you non-farmers. If you plant, you ever plant a kernel of corn? You plant a kernel of corn? What do you get? You wait and you wait, you don't see anything, and it grows up. You get a kernel of corn? No, you get a stalk with multitudes of corn on it. Each cob has hundreds of kernels. That one kernel, you get this. And what God is saying is that, see, it's kind of like this. When you plant the seed, and what you get is way more than you planted. Way more than you planted is what you get. So he's trying to tell us something about, in this example, he's trying to tell us something about who we are and who we're going to be. Well, I like who I am. You ain't got a clue what you're going to be. But, you know, a lot of people don't like who they are. Else you will never believe what you're going to be. What you're going to be is beyond imagination. See, and so that's the point here. That's the point. When you look at that, what happens with a crop, and he's using the seed and the seed coming into this magnificent crop. So whatever you are, you're going to be a million times more like Jesus. And you're going to do an absolutely perfect body like Jesus, that functions like Jesus. You know, people say, do you believe God heals 100% healing?
Absolutely. When we're in heaven, we all are going to be just like Jesus. All of us. All of us, you know. But way more. We're that kernel of corn. He said, oh, no. What you're going to look like is so much more than what you are now. Amen? So it's like, so is that something else? Let's really look to heaven, because it's way more than what we're beholding right now. Now, so God's giving us some insights here. Now, here's another one. And I think this is appropriate. You know, the spiritual body comes forth, the spiritual body that comes forth will be similar to the body planet. Okay? It's going to be similar to the body planet. For instance, you plant a kernel of corn. You're going to get corn. See? So when he plants you, he ain't going to get somebody else. When he plants you, he's going to get you. Now, you're going to be, you can't imagine who you're going to be, but you're going to get you. And you're going to know you're you. You see? But you're going to like, man, this ain't bad. this is not bad. You know, you're going to like being you with Jesus. You know? So you get you. And see, when you look here, it's very obvious. And the point is, I think it's really important. When you plant corn, you get corn. You don't get wheat. You don't get strawberries. You don't get apples. You get wheat. When God plants you, you get you. That's who you, he's happy with you. He gets you. You know? We've been renewed day by day, you know, God tells us, and that's why he's working within us. He said, now when you hear it now, I like you, and you're going to get you, but you're going to be greater in a spiritual sense than you ever thought. You can't even imagine. You can't even imagine what that looks like. I have no idea what I just did my phone. When I ever have problems with my iPad, I call my granddaughter just immediately. Now, so it's important to know when we think about when we go to be with Jesus and think about our heavenly body. You get what was planted. The glorified body will resemble the earthly body. Now, why is this important? Because I've heard people ask this question. I've heard a lot of people ask this question. We'll recognize each other. We're going to recognize each other. We're going to know who's there. We're going to know who they are. So we're going to recognize people, all right? It's recognizable. When the things about, you know, and you don't have a lot of things about going in heaven, but it's real obvious that they know each other. There's a community. There's an extended fellowship that we recognize each other. Okay? Why? Because you're a kernel of corn and you came up and you're a magnificent stalk. And you come back somebody else here and there's wheat and the wheat seed and there's magnificent thing of wheat. But you know them. You know who they are. You know who they are. So for eternity, you know who people are. And you know who, and even more than that, you definitely know who Jesus is. You know who Jesus is. Now listen to this. Now when you put all this stuff together, then you read other verses and you go, that makes a little bit of sense. A little bit of sense. I think Adam just sang a song on this one, I think. Look at Philippians 3:20-21. Now again, think about your body and going to meet Jesus. So God's talking to the people here. He's talking to us right now. But our citizenship is in heaven. Now, I mean, just think about this. We're just a bunch of people running around these little pitch tents, you know, like these army, you know, throwaways, okay? That's us. He said, man, No, that's not your citizenship. You got way more. Your citizenship is in heaven. Heaven. There's a glorious body given to you. Magnificent. So that's your citizenship. That's who you belong to. We're just visiting here. As we go through, jumping ahead, but as we go through the end of chapter 5, God calls us ambassadors. I'm getting back to this. Why would he call us ambassadors here? Say you send an ambassador from the United States to Japan, and he's there, and he's an ambassador. Who's he's the citizen of? Here. He just went over there, and he's just, you know, carrying out America business. But he belongs here. His citizenship here. And he's an ambassador to Japan. Now, when we get a couple of messages down, God calls us ambassadors to the earth. We're just carrying the message. He's not our home. We're just carrying the message. And in some that we're going to go home. That's the same thought. I mean, the same thought is here, you know. Now, so, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, from heaven. Jesus is going to return. We await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything, talking about Jesus, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. All the people said, we're going to look like Jesus. He just said it. He said, you're coming in this pitch tent. And he said, we're getting rid of that thing. And man, you're going to look good. You're going to look like me, you know. And we're all going to spend eternity together. So this is, you can't imagine what it's going to be like in heaven. You cannot imagine. And so there it is. He's going to transform our lowly bodies when he comes back, so they'll look like his glorious body. There, he's just said it. Just said it. Our transformed bodies will be like Jesus' glorious body. You know, we have this view, and I mean, it's right, a view, you know, Jesus on the right hand of the throne, and we all worship him, praise God, and that's a true. But you read stuff like this, and Jesus said, no, you're going to be looking like me. You're going, I'm going to make you look like me. It's not like I'm over there and you're over here. No, we're in this together. That's one of the reasons Jesus came and lived on this earth. It's like he's showing us the deity of God, but he's showing us how he functioned with mankind and how he likes to function with mankind. He enjoys us. We will resemble Jesus, yet be recognized by each other. Now, again, we know Jesus is on the right hand of the throne. But we are going to, okay, in heaven. What's going to be? We'll float around on clouds. We'll play harps. I'd love to play harps. I'd love to be able to play anything, you know, except the radio. I mean, I just can't play anything. But we're not going to do that. Maybe you might play a harp. But we're not floating around on clouds. No, you're going. There's a whole structure. And heaven is going to function with all of us in it. And I think we're going to do stuff together. You know, I don't know what it is. Some people guess and you know, they're just making stuff up. But he says we're going to be there together and we're going to work together and we're going to interact together. Now, he gives us hints what that's going to look like, what he does, and how the hint he gives us, this was in God's mind in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it'll be fulfilled in heaven. Okay? This dynamic of us walking together and talking with Christ. Again, that is one of the reasons we see him as a man. We can relate. He's fully God, but he's also fully man. We can relate to him. We can relate to him. It's one of the things. Now look at this. And we have a picture of how our interaction is meant to be and is going to be. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And I could get 10 verses that repeat this in various ways. 2 Corinthians 6:16. For we are, you are, all of us are, the temple of the living God. Okay, now he did it here. He did it. Okay. He called us a tent. He called us a tent. Your body's a tent. All right. Now what has he called us? We're a temple. Okay. I don't know. God, why don't you make up your mind? You call us a tent. But now you call us a temple. Oh, this is why he calls us a temple. Who's in the temple? Jesus. We're just a tent. But also, with Jesus, we come a temple. You see, he's going to come in. He's, don't you know you're a temple? I thought you said that's a tent. Well, you are by yourself. But when I come in, you're a temple. You're a temple. See, so we are the temple of the living God. And God has said, now listen to what God has said. God has said, I will live with them. I will walk among them. And I will be their God. And they will be my people. We're going to hang out. I'm going to walk with them. I'm going to talk with them. I'm going to interact with them. They're my people. They're my people. I have a relationship. So you have this thing, this majesty of God the Father, and says nobody has ever seen God the Father. So what's that? Never. Never seen him. They see bright light and they get all scared and hide and everything, but they never seen him. They never seen him. You know, he kind of knows. Like came down to the mountain, spoke, and they said, Moses, time stop speaking. Man, we're going nuts here. This is scary, you know. See, so God, there's a majesty of God. But what happened was Jesus that came fully God, you know. And how do I know Jesus was fully God when he came on this earth? I love what Philip asked Jesus. Say, Jesus, show us God. Philip, you seen me? You seen God. Oh. See, what Jesus did in a human form, he functioned as the holy God for us, that we could see him and interact with him and have a relationship with him. Now, as man, as fully God, he went to the cross and crucified and died for our sins. Okay, a big deal for him being fully man. But also, he shows how he can walk with us and talk with us and enjoy the relationship with us. He just tickled pink with us. See? Why do you think Jesus washed the disciples' feet? He goes around and washes feet. You know who feet he, and this bothers me. You know who of the disciples' feet he washed? Judas's. He washed Judas's feet. See? Because he was showing the love and interaction. He said, now when you do this, you see me doing, now you do this with each other. You love each other like I loved you. So do you see the relationship he's building? This is what he's building. Okay, now he's coming back. So he's putting this thing down with body. We get back to the body. He goes, you're a tent. No, you're a seed. And when I plant you, the body you're going to have for all eternity with me is more than you can imagine. And we're going to interact for all eternity. For all eternity, we're going to walk, talk, and interact with Jesus for all eternity. I don't know what else is happening, but that peace is happening. That peace is happening. See, we think, I don't know if this comes to mind, I don't know if it'll be helpful or not, but Jesus, but God talks about himself, you know, like the temple of God, and you know you can't see God, and in Revelations, and he said, there's not going to be any temple in the book of Revelation for eternity. There's no temple for God. No temple. There's one of you. And Jesus goes, he says, because I'll be with you and I'm the temple. Oh. Now, you don't have to go in place. I'm going to be with you for all eternity. So you see the magnitude of what's building here, what he's talking about. Come. Here on earth, now here on earth, and we're here on earth, if you hadn't noticed. We're still in the earthly body, you know, and aches and pains and going through difficulty. But here on earth it says we live, you know, in the promise being filled with the Holy Spirit. We accept Jesus as our Savior. Simple. He paid the penalty for our sins. He died in our place. He was a substitute for us. All our sins are forgiven. He goes, okay, I took care of you. You're clean. Even when you mess up, all right, you're good. I'm clean. I died for that. Now I'm going to strengthen you to walk in this crazy world. I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to help you walk. You're going to go through some tough stuff because you're in the body. Bad things are going to happen, but I'm here with you, and I'll guide you through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit working in you and guiding you is evidence that I exist. You know what we already talked. He calls the Holy Spirit in this case. He's a deposit. I give you a deposit. You know, but I'm still here. I know you understand. You got a deposit, and I'm going to give you the strength to get through this. I'm going to give you the strength to get through this. And once this tent is folded up, oh man, are you going to see something? Okay, you're here as an ambassador, but this is not your home. This is not your home, okay? And so just live in it like it's not your home, okay? Look at me. He's trying to help us out here. Trying to help us out here. My sister, God bless her, I love her. Do you ever want to have your relatives' DNA checked to see if they really were related to you? Oh, my God. My sister, I don't know. She calls me every time there's a new president and tells me it's the Antichrist. Every time. I don't care who it is. It doesn't make any difference. She thought Obama was the Antichrist. She thought Reagan was the Antichrist. She knows Trump's the Antichrist. And I'm just like, you know, anyway, I even forgot where I was going with that. But what she does that in this world, she's being consumed and tied to that. She said the world's going to end because if they're the Antichrist, then it's going to end. And it's just, so I try to explain to her that each one is not the Antichrist. It doesn't line up, which doesn't go any place. You know, and then she back to the world's end. And then I told her, this really upset her. I said, why are you upset about it? I hope it ends. You want the world end? I said, come on and end. Then I can be with Jesus. Now, I thought that was a good answer. She didn't. She did. But you can see an element, like you people around the world, like the world's going to end. Man, I know, I'm just telling you, for us, it ain't going to be bad. It's just not going to be bad when it ends. Now, I don't think Trump's the Antichrist, okay? I just don't. And I don't think the world's going to end. But if it did, we would be with Jesus. It ain't bad. So I'm not worried about it. I just watch it. It's fun to watch. I get a kick out of watching the news. I mean, it's like watching cartoons. I just love it. You know. So stuff happening. But I'm not worried about it ending, you know. Ending. Now, so we know that once we shed this earthly tent. Now listen to this. This is the truth. You heard the first line. It says, we live by faith and not by sight. Yeah, the verse says, then, I'm telling you, we're going to live by sight. Not living by faith. We're living by sight because it's there. It's the reality. We're going to be in the reality. Now, all these verses, as you just read through them, that's what God's telling us. No, this is the reality. No sight. And so there's no faith in this like that because it's going to be, you're going to see it. It's real, and you're going to see it. Now, that's confidence. Confidence. Now, when does this happen? So, anyway, so here it is. You know, that's what we kind of know about the body. I mean, it really is good. I mean, it's going to be good. It really is powerful. And how powerful? I don't know. We're going to function like Jesus. He said we're going to function like him. He said it. So the promise is with him in a greater realization and understanding that we have now, we are going to experience the person of Christ in heaven. And it's glorious. It's absolutely glorious. Now, when does this happen? When do you get the body? Okay. Now, again, there's some things the way it's presented, and you think you wonder, but the Bible is real clear on it when you look at the source. When we get this body, it's an instantaneous transformation. And it comes. It's it. It's instantaneous. And the biggest place we have to tell us that, when the thief on the cross asked Jesus, says, "Remember me." And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." I mean, now. As soon as you shut your eyes, you're going to be with me in paradise. It's instantaneous. All this happens instantaneous. Like we look at the planting of the seed and we think, well, we're growing into the... No, it's instantaneous. And it's a body that he gives us immediately. Immediately. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, when you shut your eyes for the last time, immediately you're going to see Jesus. Immediately. You just need to know that. There's not, well, we'll wait 30 minutes. Yeah, no, it's immediate. You're going to see Jesus. This was a revelation. I mean, it's based on Scripture. But when my mother was dying, and she had emphysema, and everything just starts shutting down. That's a terrible thing. Because they would tell you, okay, can't breathe, this is gone. Like, and then this will shut down, this will shut down, then this will shut down, then this will shut down. And so this is when she's going to die. I mean, what kind of science is that? I mean, just like, so. I mean, it's terrible. It's just absolutely terrible. So she's fully alert and all that physically and alert. And so she believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, never churched, didn't know anything, so she didn't know stuff. She knew Jesus died and her sins were forgiven. All she knew, that's all she needed. Yeah. And she asked me, so you're sitting there and you're trying to be comforted, and he's there, and it's a couple of months, and I see you. And so she asked me, and she goes, "What's it going to be like?" And what she meant, it's going to be in heaven. So she didn't know anything. Well, let me give you this Bible study. We'll go over these 15 points. it's like, oh, my God. She said, "What's it going to be like?" And I mean, immediately, if ever I got a revelation, it was right then. And I said, "It's just like walking through a door, and the first person you see is Jesus." Oh, brothers and sisters, said, "What? Amen." I mean, that was just, I mean, it's like, what do you say? She said, "No, you know, it's just like walking through a door. And the first person you see in Jesus, it is." That's what this says. It is. See? But it is that for all of us. For all of us. It's just like walking through a door. First person we see, Jesus. And you hear people, and I hear these testimony stuff, and I don't know anything's true about this, but they'll talk about, you know, people going to heaven and stuff like that. And it's like, they won't come back. They won't come back. Nobody wants to come back. Oh, shoot, let me go see something. No, they'll make it. I won't go back. Nobody wants to come back. Nobody wants to come back. So, our body here. So this gives us a little indication. It's instantaneous. Now, the Apostle Paul had a revelation of heaven. Now, he's the only one, I think, in the Bible who had a revelation of heaven. So he had a revelation. And you know what he said after he had the revelation? Fascinating what he said. Here's the revelation of heaven. He comes back. He said, "Man, I can't even talk about it. I'm not supposed to say a word." You know? "Why'd you even tell me you went? I mean, you know, you're not going to tell me nothing." He said, "No, I can't. Can't work. Not a word." See, so what he saw, he says, it's unimaginable. He did say that. He did say that. So why I'm bringing that, he knew about the glorious body. He knew about heaven, okay? So he did know some things. So listen to what he said. Now, this is Scripture. This is what he said. He knew, he saw, he understood where he's going. He understood his heavenly body, and he understood heaven. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:8. Notice all this is in context. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Bottom line. Bottom line. He says, you want me? He says, no, I want to be there. I prefer. I know what's going on, and I prefer. Now, there are places where God tells the people, don't cry, don't weep. I still want you to cry at my funeral. He tells everybody, don't weep, don't cry, because he's saying, no, they're home. They're at a place they never dreamed of. They're at a place, and they're in a position they never thought possible. They're at a home in heaven with Christ that they can't imagine what's happening around them. That's what he's telling us. Now, he does something here, and I think it's fascinating where he does this. It's fascinating where he does this. See, knowing the truth reveals a continuity that should change our behavior. See, we're talking about all this stuff, you know, oh, that's cool. Oh, man, that's neat. If we take it hard, it should change our behavior. So God is showing us, here's the truth and the continuity of the physical body and the spiritual body, and it should impact your behavior when you know you're going. It should impact your behavior. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:9, next verse. Because he just I just want to be home with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:9. So we make it our goal to please Jesus. It's all about him. It's all about him. So it's all about him. So we just make it our goal to please Jesus. Whether we're in the home, in the body, or away from it. Continuity. Pleasing Jesus here. And then for all eternity, pleasing Jesus. You're going to please Jesus for all eternity. Just start it here. Start pleasing Jesus here, because he's going to be this way for eternity. For eternity. That's what it's saying. Now, here's something, and this is, to me, this is something that was fascinating, because you've heard me talk about 2 Corinthians 5:10, being before the bema seat of Christ, you know. I just want you to know that verse 10 comes after verse 9, okay? 5:9, now we got 5:10. So why am I saying this? Because 5:10 is connected to 5:9. And people can't understand 5:10 because they don't look at 5:9. Look at this. Make our goal to please Jesus, whether at home, the body, away from him. 5:10. For we must all appear before the bema seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Or evil. There's a continuity. You see? In this life, there's a continuity that goes on. So and so what it's saying here is like, oh my gosh, we have motivation. Gosh, Jesus is there. We have motivation to serve him. See, in our heavenly body, in our context, in our heavenly body, we will stand before Jesus to receive our due that was done in our earthly body. He says, hey, come on, we're interacting now. We're interacting. All those things where you praise me, all those things where you walk with me, all those things you put me first, you know, we reward you for all that behavior to please what you did to please me. Now again, use the word. He didn't tell you what to do. What you did to please me. Please me. That you'll continue to do to please me for all eternity. Behavior change. See? And so we're going to stand there in our glorified body. He said, listen, I want to give thanks to you. I want to praise you for what you did in your body. That's going to carry out for all eternity. That's why 10 comes after 9. That's the whole reason. Verse 9 is the whole reason for verse 10. And even you can throw in verse 8. Amen? Now, how are we going to wrap this up? Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. All right. All God's people said what? Amen. We're cleansed. I mean, we're cleansed. Oh, man, you messed up. You said a bad word. No, that stuff is washed away. It's gone. It doesn't come up at the bema seat of Christ either. It is gone. It's washed in the blood. Done deal. Okay. Now you come up and he says, man, you really did some things to please me and had a focus on me. And I want to reward you for all the things you did. Because you tried to please me. Please me. I mean, that's all that is, you know. And so we're looking for. So this will be fun. This will be fun. I always see this is misunderstanding. I looked at the beam of seat of Christ and I thought, okay, I'm going to go there as a believer. And I thought, oh, crud, you're going to tell everybody what I did to God. And I don't want them to know. You know, just go to heaven and skip this. I just don't want to tell everybody. You know, he's no Wallace. And it dawned on me. He said, no, it's cleansed by the blood. I forgot about that. I wish you would. It's cleansed by the blood. I'm not going to bring it back up. For the beam of seed of Christ. What did you do to make decisions for me to please me? Oh. Well, not me, Ben. Okay, I can go there. Oh, man, bring it on. You know, bound to have done something good like that. But anyway, but you see the context here. So we're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And I want to add this. In a way, we're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. But you know what else? The reason Jesus died to forgive our sins. But I'm pressing this a little bit. But in a way, he paid the price also so that we could look like him. That's what it said in Philippians 2:20. They come here. I'm going to change your body. Look like my body. We couldn't do that until he went to the cross. He wants us to look like him. In fact, he died and went to the cross, so we will look like him, and he will walk and talk with us. Amen? Blood. We're cleansed by the blood. And it says in the Bible, when he forgets it. He's not going to bring it up here. He forgot it. That's not what this is for. This is not for all God's people said. Amen. My one revelation, maybe two, but one revelation, you know, God said, when you die, just like walking through the door and said, there's Jesus. And you never want to go back through it. Jesus. First thing you see is Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. This is the reason the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, totally understand, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, said Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, Lord, my dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you that you care. We thank you that you love us more than we can imagine. We thank you that you have your hand on us right now, and you are taking us. You will take us into your presence, and we will live for all eternity with you. This is just a tent. This is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. And Jesus is all excited for us to spend all eternity with him. And we thank you, God, that we're cleansed by his blood. And we thank you, God, that because of his death, we will be like him. He died so we would be like him for all eternity. In the name of the Lord Jesus.